John chapter 15, reading verse 22 through verse 25. Titling the message this evening, Without Excuse. We find here beginning in verse 22. It says, If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Heavenly Father, we do come again this evening to thy word, and to the scriptures here in John chapter 15 in the upper room. Lord, we come here again asking for help and leading of the Holy Spirit that we might understand thy word, that we might be better servants and followers of thee. We pray tonight for your anointing, your blessing to be upon the reading of scripture, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is our seventh message in this chapter. We'll have one more before we get into chapter 16. And as I said to you weeks ago, I want to take the time to glean all that we can from the text and the verses. As I taught a number of years ago through the book of John, we went a little faster, and I wanted to come back to this section and really spend a lot of time on it. Now, last week, we were in verses 18 through 21, looking at the promise of persecution and why that Christians are hated even to this day, because they're followers of Christ. This evening, I'm titling the message, Without Excuse. And I want to use verses 22 through 25. And I want you to notice that those that the Lord Jesus is speaking to in his day, not just here in the upper room, but during his earthly ministry, and this would apply to today as well, they were without excuse. And what we really find as we come to this text, we see here that they were without excuse in verse 22 because of his preaching. You notice that it says, And if I had not come and spoken unto them. We also find that they're without excuse in verse 24 because of his works, that is, his miracles. In verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. And then we find that they're without excuse in verse 25 because of his claims. We find in verse 25, that this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. Notice they hated me without a cause. And that's taken from the Old Testament. In other words, Christ claimed divinity. And he was sinless. And they hated him not only for his preaching, not only for his works or miracles, but they hated him because that he testified to be the Son of God, and he and the Father were one. Now, if Christ had not have come, they would not have known the Father, and neither would we. So now notice our text as we come back here again, verse 22. He said, If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now think about this. If I had not come, he says, in this passage, they had not sin. What does he mean? Well, in particular, of persecuting and rejecting the Messiah. In other words, we find that the coming of Christ, his first coming, made all men without excuse. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31 speaks of this, that Christ one day will judge the world. He'll judge all men. And even some of the things that were overlooked in the Old Testament are not overlooked anymore. And so we find here that he came and spoke to them. Notice in the latter part of verse 22, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, they have no covering. They have no excuse, and not even ignorance can be declared at this time. In other words, by Christ coming and speaking to them and working among them, we find that they had no more excuses. And this is very clear, like I say, as we read through the New Testament. The word cloak here has the idea of covering, or them using, they have no excuse because they have been confronted with the Son of God. He has come and preached to them. He has performed miracles. He has declared himself as coming from the Father. They could find no sin in him. And so they have no cloak. They cannot use any excuse. They have nothing to hide behind, and they cannot plead ignorance because they have been confronted by the Messiah himself. Romans 1:20 speaks of creation and the fact that the nations were without excuse even in the Old Testament. And then James 4, verse 17, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Well, after Christ came, they were confronted with their sin. They were confronted with the Messiah, the Savior, the Promised One. And so that's basically what the text is talking about. Now notice in verse 22 again, as I said earlier, there's three thoughts that I bring from this text, is that they're without excuse. Number one, verse 22, because of his preaching and teaching. And then the second point in verse 24, they were without excuse because of his works, that is his miracles, the deeds that he did. And then number three, verse 25, they were without excuse because of his claims. In other words, he claimed divinity and they hated him because without a cause. They could find no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they even hated him for that he claimed to be the Son of God. Now in verse 22, notice, if I had not come and spoken unto them. Christ came and he spoke, he preached, he taught the Word of God. Notice with me that as we turn to Mark in chapter 1, in the book of Mark in chapter 1, we find that as we read through the Gospels and also the epistles of the New Testament, we find that in his preaching he declared the will of God. And he increased their consciousness of sin. He preached unto them repentance and faith, the necessity of being born again, as in John chapter 3. And he spoke of them of forgiveness of sins. He spoke of them of entering into the kingdom of God. He spoke of heaven and hell. In other words, he came preaching and teaching the Word of God. In Mark chapter 1, we find that in verse 1 and 2, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And then in verse 14 and 15, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Apart, yes, the Lord, he came to die. And without the death, burial, and resurrection, we could not be saved. But he also came to preach. He also came to preach. He preached as much as anyone else. John was a preacher. Christ was a preacher. He trained the 12 who were preachers. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and preached. Notice in Luke chapter 4, in the book of Luke in chapter 4, we find that he preached as one with authority, the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 28 and verse 29. He taught with authority. He preached to them. That is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And the closing of that, it said it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now that's Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He came and preached. He came and taught the scripture. We have the upper room discourse given to us. We have the Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet discourse, many parables, and many other teachings that the Lord had given. And again, in Matthew 22, verse 12 and 13, he spoke to them of the need of salvation and also the coming judgment. Now I'm reading in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in view of the context, he's come into the Nazareth, into the synagogue, and it says here that the book of Isaiah was delivered unto him, verse 17, he opened it. Verse 18, he's reading from a text, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice twice we find in verse 18 and in verse 19 of him being ordained, coming to preach. Well, we coming back now to John chapter 15. And one of the things that made the children of Israel to be without excuse in the first century was that they not only had the Word of God and the Old and beginning of the New Testament, but they had the Savior. He was a Jew. He came and lived among them. He came unto his own, John 1:11, but his own received him not. Now think of other passages that you might want to jot down as well. And I think of Romans 1:16. The gospel went unto them first. I think of Romans chapter 3. The Bible said, what advantage then hath the Jews, or what profit is there of circumcision? It says this in verse 2. Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the truth. They had the scripture. And when Christ come, he took the scriptures that they had and preached unto them. And also in Romans 9, verse 4 and 5, it says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises? And whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Think about this. They had the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, that's the Word of God, and the service of God, that's the tabernacle and temple, and the promises of God. So they had an advantage. Christ came to his own. He preached unto them out of their own scripture. And then in Romans 15:8, it says, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And then he begins in verse 9, mentioning the Gentiles to be brought in with them as well. Now, I want you to notice, too, that as we consider this, we find that in, you can write this down, in Matthew chapter 23, we find the great crime against Israel. Not every individual. There are those who believe. But the great crime of the century was that they rejected and crucified the Son of God. And that's in Matthew 23, verse 34 through verse 39. He says that there would be certain things come upon that generation because of their rejection of killing the prophets and then rejecting Christ. And so they were without sin in the sense, they were without excuse, I should say. They had no cloak for their sin, and because the Lord Jesus Christ came and exposed that. We know in Hebrews 1, verse 2, is that Jesus Christ, His words are the last words that God has given to us of revelation, and the apostles wrote that down, and we have it to this day. Now, notice as we come back here and we read again verse 22. He says here in verse 22, he says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. In other words, they would not understand sin. They would not see their sin as they should. He says, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no covering. They have no excuse. They cannot plead ignorance as some might in the world that's not heard the truth. They cannot plead any of these things. Now notice as we come to verse 23, he says, and he that hateth me hateth my Father also. There's many verses, but one that I want to give you, 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 22. In the context, speaking of Antichrist, and not some coming Antichrist, but those who deny that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, listen to this in verse 23. Well, let me read verse 22 and 23. He says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And he said in verse 23, whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. In other words, as we just read in John 15:23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's an interesting statement, because you can't love the Father without loving the Son. Now you think about how many people in this world and how many different religions they are in this world that talk about God and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could go down here in the town tomorrow and start asking people, do you believe in God? You know, you have most of them say yes, especially down here in the Deep South. And but then you could get into a serious conversation of what it means to believe in Christ, and you'll find out that there's not that many that really do believe in God in that sense. We find in John 14:6, a very familiar verse. We all use it in witnessing. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus said. In Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved. And then in Acts 17:31, I mentioned a moment ago, Christ shall judge all men. So in verse 23, a profound statement, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If you find anyone that hates Jesus Christ, they try to destroy his deity, they try to distort the truth about him, you can rest assured they do not believe in the God of this Bible. Okay? Now, notice in verse 24. He says here in verse 24, he says again, if I had not done among men the works. Well, I believe the works here are his miracles, his good deeds, things of that nature. In other words, his miracles displayed his power, his glory, and his divinity. And he said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. And again, not only was his preaching exposing them and showing them their sin and their need of salvation, his preaching, but also his miracles declared that he was the Son of God. And he goes on to saying they had not sin, had sin. And he said, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So they not only saw, they not only heard the preaching of Christ, but they also saw his miracles that no other man could have done. No one. When you think about this, he fed the multitudes. I'm talking about fed them with nothing. 5,000 and many others. He healed the sick, cleansed the leper. He raised the dead. He turned the water into wine. He walked on water. And on we could go with the miracles that he performed. We'd find these in places like in John 7, verse 31. We find that in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, a blind man. Folks are asking, did his parents sin? Did he sin? Basically, the Lord said that this man was blind, that he might heal for the glory of God, that they might see the work of God. In John 11, verse 40 through 46, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he basically, Lazarus was allowed to die, that Christ could come, and that Christ would raise him, what, on the fourth day, raise him from the dead. All of this was centered around that people might see this and they might believe. And there were many that believed because of Lazarus. So we have, and think about this verse right here, in the book of Acts, chapter 10. This verse to me kind of sums it all up. We could actually turn to 80 or 100 verses in the Gospels and in the Epistles, speaking of Christ and his miracles. Why, in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4 speaks of even the apostles performing miracles as well because of Christ. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, now listen to this, and it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That verse kind of sums it all up. And so he says here in John 15 and in verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So he spoke to them, he preached to them, he taught them, and not only that, he worked among them. He performed many miracles, many different types of miracles, again, from feeding thousands unto raising not only Lazarus from the dead, but two others, a boy and a girl, raised them from the dead as well. And so many, many miracles that he did. And so they had no excuse. They had no cloak. They had no covering. They had nothing they could hide under. They could not hide under ignorance, whatever, because they had the Word of God and the law and the prophets and all of that. And so we find, again, he come preaching to them and he come working among them. But notice the next thing in verse 25. He says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. You'll find that in Psalms 135, verse 19. And if I'm not mistaken, you'll find it again in Psalm 69, verse 4. Now notice the latter part of this statement. We find here that it says, they hated me without a cause. They could find nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:30, the devil could find no sin in him. In Matthew 27:4, Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. In Matthew 27:24, Pilate, I find no fault in this just man. And we find that this speaks of the impeccability of Christ. The perfection and sinlessness of Christ is taught throughout the Scripture, even in the Old Testament when it speaks of his birth, born of a virgin. Because we see from his conception, his character, his life, his death, his resurrection, he was impeccable. He was without sin. And that's another reason they hated him. They hated him without a cause. They hated him. Still to this day, there are those that hate him without a cause. Now, let me give you some verses. And some of these, for instance, Hebrews 7, verse 26. We know that Christ was sinless, and it also mentions that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And here's some of the verses, if you want to make note of them. You can write down Isaiah 53:9 for an Old Testament passage. And it says, he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. But in 1 John chapter 3, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, and now there's more than what I'm going to give you, but this is a reminder that I do several times in the year of the person and work of Christ. But we find in 1 John 3, 5, it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, and this is all dealing with his sufferings and the crucifixion, and it says in verse 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, as in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. But we also find in Hebrews chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 4, and declaring him to be the high priest that has passed into the heavens, and he says in verse 15, he said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Persecuted him. They hated him without a cause. He was sinless. There was no reason for them to hate him. But then in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ was sinless. And as we think about this, his claims of deity, the fact that he was sinless, okay, and he was not born, did not have a human father, and he claimed this as we look through the scripture. And you'll notice that in John chapter 10, I'll ask you to turn there, and you can write down John 5, verse 31, because in that passage, John 5, 31, and also John 8, verse 58 through 59. And in those passages, they want to take up stones to kill him because he declared to be one or equal with the Father. But now notice in John chapter 10, we're talking about why did they hate him? Well, they hated his preaching, and they were amazed at his miracles, but still yet, while he was performing miracles, they're looking for ways to destroy him. But they hated him because he declared the fact that he was sinless, that he was from heaven, that he was the Son of God. And notice in John chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse 24. This will be our last text that we will read. And you can write down 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifest in the flesh. But in verse 24, he said, then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long doest thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works, see, we talked about that a moment ago, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. That's what we see in many other places. Then it says, verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And he continues on with this conversation. And we will close here. But we see that as Christ came unto his own, they had no cloak. They were without excuse before him because of his preaching, because of his miracles, and because of the fact of his claims of deity, of divinity, that he was without sin, that he was God in flesh. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank thee for this day and for thy word and thy truth, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the salvation that you've so freely given to us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that this study will be rich and encouraging to our hearts. As you spoke to your disciples this night before the crucifixion, that these words would resonate with us, that we would glean from them, that they'd be precious to us. Lord, that we might walk close to thee and be true disciples. And Father, we ask now for your blessings upon the remaining of the service here tonight, Lord, as we sing and as we come to pray again. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.